This is Brian Rashid Global coming to your local device. So I'm really happy to be here, guys. Happy winter workshop. I just want to really quickly, before we jump into kind of what I'm going to talk about today, I want to basically hear from you guys about just the one thing that you're really hoping to learn today. Leadership skills, my man. Communication, job readiness, awesome. Who else? Just raise your hand. Just give me a couple more, my man. He's like, I want to learn how to properly digest a blueberry muffin. All right, I'm done. So that's my speech. Thanks for coming out, guys. No, I'm kidding. Before we jump into the talk, I just want to kind of briefly tell you about who I am, how I ended up here, and then we're going to, you know, we have a couple of hours together, so I want to make this really interactive. I also want you guys to think about very specific personal questions that you have yourselves about what I can help you with. For me, the thing that I'm most excited about from being here, aside from kind of walking you through my presentation, is how I can answer questions for you about your specific situations. So I'd encourage all of you to take me up on that during this time together. And so I'm able to take a tremendous amount of information and synthesize it quickly, right? And I think that that's an important skill set, and that was what I was able to do for, you know, politicians like Bloomberg, but also for big CEOs of companies. The second thing I would say is, I also understand that story is everything. So when I look at this room with the 50 or 60 or however many people are here, I see massive opportunity to create something that's sustainable and that we love. Because there is no more barrier to entry. You guys get that, right? Like, we are living in, like, raise your hand if you agree with me that this is the most exciting time ever to be a creator and to be your own thing. Raise your hand. For those of you that are not raising your hand, I get maybe why you don't want to raise your hand, but by the end of this, I'm hoping that you see that it is seriously the best time ever. How many people have heard me speak before, just out of curiosity? How many people have been to a workshop before? Okay, cool. No worries. I'm super happy about that, because that means that there's a lot of new faces here. What I want to think about is, I want to talk just for a couple of minutes about some things that I see in the branding world and the communications world, just to kind of give you guys some stuff to think about as we're going through. So there's a couple of different things to think about. Number one, what I just told you, the gatekeepers are completely gone, right? You don't have to wait for anybody's permission anymore. Number two, this is the best time ever to create a brand, because the point of entry is so easy to penetrate. In other words, you can today start your brand. And number three, I think that we get to understand is, I'm looking around and I see a lot of, like, the age group of this audience is really varied, but whether you're 18 or whether you're 65, the fact is the internet has completely leveled the playing field for all of us, right? And this is something that I'm very passionate about, especially when I speak to very diverse groups like we see here. The old business world of white guy and the white board controlling the market share is gone. Because now the internet decides who wins. And the internet is made up of people that look just like us. So why, you know, where dad or mom or grandpa or grandma could have bought your seat at Harvard, right? And they did for a lot of these students, mom and dad and grandpa and grandma literally do not have enough capital to buy the market. We're just living in a time now where it's easier than ever to actually create something for yourself. How many people in here have at least one thing that they're good at? Every hand goes up. I love that. We have to find ways to build a life around that. You know, it used to be, you can do what you love, but you won't make as much money, but you're doing what you love. And people would be like, well, I think I'm just gonna stay in that job I don't really love because I wanna make more money. It's flipped now. Now it's, if you do what you love, you will probably make more money because you'll put all the time into it, right? It's, the fact is this, If you're making more money, it means that you're better than other people at your thing. And in order to be better than other people at your thing, you have to do something more than anybody else does, which is you have to work more than anybody else does. That's the one thing that's in our control. All of our control is how much we work, right? We can't control how moody our partner is, right? We'll talk later. She's like, huh? We can't control, you know, the weather. We can't control how happy our client is. What we can control, we can't, in some ways we can't control our talent. What we can control is the level of work that we put into something. And if you love what you're doing, then you're gonna put in more work. So it's not if you love what you do, if you love what you're doing, you have more success. It's if you love what you're doing, you outwork everybody else, which leads to having more success. And so that's kind of contextually how I think about some stuff. I wanna jump into the interactivity of the exercise, and then literally, guys, if you have questions throughout, please just like, let's jam together on that. And then there'll also be a bunch of time for questions at the end. So we're gonna go through, this exercise is gonna be perfect for you. And also, if for all you guys that have like that thing of, you know, that paralysis of by opportunity kind of thing, like, I have too many things that I wanna do. The biggest thing that I would encourage you is just start one at a time. Or again, kind of what I was telling my friend back here, figure out a way, and I call this idea sex. Sex.
Idea sex?
Yes. Here's what I mean. You literally take the three or four things that you're good at and have them come together, have sex, and see what the baby is that's born. For example, I love speaking in Spanish. I love Latin America. I love entrepreneurship. I love events. When you bring those things together, I speak in Latin America about entrepreneurship at events. Let's jump into the exercise part. Everyone has something to write with or their phone or whatever. Let's jump into the part number one. Part number one is, how do you identify that thing, right? So if you know the thing that you think that you're really good at and the thing that you love, why don't we start by writing it down? The thing that I think that I am the strongest at, or the thing that I love doing that I'm good at, is this. Write it down in a sentence, in a paragraph, in a page, whatever you need. We'll take 2 minutes and kind of jam on that. Yeah, like, what do you think your biggest strength or passion is? Is in baking? Okay. Your business is a bakery? Your business is
a
catering company. So let me ask you a question. Do you have currently customers for the catering company? You make Dominican cake, and you're good at it, and you have Dominican clients, and your business is in the Bronx?
It's in Harlem.
In Harlem? And you're, okay, that's fine, that's great. I love home base. I'm all about home base. I think keeping costs as low as possible is smart. In your case, it's Dominicans that want Dominican cake, right? Thank you for making me very hungry right now, by the way. I'm like, tres leche, So, that's a good start. Where do they live? Harlem, in your case, maybe Washington Heights, right? In the Bronx, all right, that's number two. Number three, what are they coming to you for? Is it for a birthday? Is it for a anniversary party? Is it for a wedding? Is it? So you have two options here. You can either keep this thing really small and manageable, right? Which is, my hands can literally make 10 cakes a month. I'm making the numbers up, but. So I can only take 10 clients a month. That's gonna make me $4,000 a month, and I'm good with that, right? That's one option. Option number two is you actually get a warehouse or get a bakery or get a thing, but I would say the option number two you have to be careful of, because then you're having more and more and more expenses. So in my mind, if I'm you, my direction is this. Number one, I call every single client that I've ever had. I thank them. Maybe what I do is I get somebody, a Dominican, to sit with me for a day or two and make the phone calls with me and learn how to say the things, thank them, and ask them to refer you to other people. That's number one. Number two, you can actually make, and this is crazy, guys. This is really crazy. The Facebook ad product is insane. So with Facebook, you have to set up a professional public figure page. Every single one of you that is sitting in this place in this room right now, if you have any aspiration to create a brand or to sell something or to have a business, you need a Facebook professional page because you can advertise from that. Okay? So you need your company, can be the page, can be you, can be whatever, right? Registered nurse looking to bring more happiness through Dominican cakes. Right? That's kind of like, that's how I'm thinking about your brand right now, right? Your whole life you've been trying to like help people and now you're just doing it in a different way. Okay? Then with Facebook ads, you make a video and you say, "Hi, I'm Marilyn." You look at the camera. It doesn't have to be fancy. You can put it up on a tripod. You know, you have a smartphone? Good. So you put it up on a tripod and you say, "Hey, I'm Marilyn and I love making Dominican cakes. As you might notice from my Jamaican accent, I'm not Dominican. But I love you guys." That's funny. That's cool. It's not like, "Hello, I make Dominican cakes. Would you like one for your birthday?" You know? So, you know, that's, "I make Dominican cakes and I love it. Now, I'm going to try to tell you that in Spanish." And then you butcher the shit out of it. And you're like, "Hola, you know, me llamo," whatever. They're going to think it's funny. Right? And at the end you say, "I don't speak Spanish, but I'm learning." Right? And I'd love to make your birthday even more special. Now, you take that video, it's 1 minute, right? You would love that video, right? She's Dominican. You would love that video. So look, and now you can target, and again, this is something you're gonna have to go home and Google, how do I do Facebook ads? But you can target people in Harlem, in Washington Heights, in the Bronx, that have a birthday coming up this month. Do you understand how crazy that is? You know who your clients are. You know how many you can make. Now you have to make a funny commercial. And when I say commercial, this is what I mean, guys. This is how amazing this opportunity is. Because the commercial, right, is literally just you talking. This is what I mean by the middleman or the middlewoman is gone. In the past, you had to go to a fancy studio and rent all the equipment for the day and hope and pray that it went well, and then post-produce it, and then it's $10,000 later, and you have to sell a whole lot of cakes to make that $10,000 back. And then all of a sudden, people are hitting you up, "Hey, I saw your commercial on Facebook," right? That's your direction. I mean, if anybody has a product that they wanna sell, you should find the people that already have attention that are relevant to the thing that you're trying to do, and offer them free chicken, or free cake, or free childcare, or free whatever, or if you don't have the capacity to do that, you pay them for a shout out. They say, "Yo, best fried chicken in New York City," and they charge you $200. And you do that with 50 different people, right? And you figure out of that investment what yielded a return. Because I'm happy to pay you $200 if you bring me $1,000 of business. That's a good ROI, and I know, right? No, oh, sorry, that's a good return on investment. ROI, return on investment. If I give you $100 and you make me 101, it's a good return on investment. If I give you 100 and you make me 99, it's a bad return on investment. Unless I'm building a brand. If it's a return on investment. So, this is a good question for a couple of different reasons. Number one, and it's a really important point that I didn't mention in the beginning because I wanted to see if it was going to be relevant for you guys, and now that I see it is. There's a big difference between sales and branding, right? And this is important for everybody to understand. Sales are buy my sweater with the thing, the ribbon, right? Sales are buy my hair product, my hair dye. Right? I love if you guys could see what I could see right now, you'd be super jealous. This is like an epic like rainbow effect here. So there's that. But what people confuse is they think that that is also branding. They think that because I put up a video that I made and then I sell you a service in the description of that video that I'm doing both at the same time, and that's a losing strategy. Because you can't do both sales and branding at the same time. At least not all the time. Branding is a BS word. branding means nothing. Branding, if you break it down to what branding means, it just means what is the level of value that you bring to the people that pay attention to you. I'm branding myself right now with this talk, right? I'm trying to give you guys like literally all of my best stuff. So any of you that are thinking about creating a personal brand, please, please, please overwhelmingly over-index on value. Make sense? I want you to create a brand that people love so much that they're asking you when they can buy. Where you have to make money. Mm-hmm. You have to make money.
Absolutely.
I get it. That's a business. The place that you will win, and the place that you will win, and you will win, everyone that wants to start a business, you will all win the moment that I come to you. Tell me your name.
Ronaldo.
And I say, Ronaldo, dude, you've given me so much. What can I buy? And you have to understand that the second you go in for a sale, you lose a little bit of the brand.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's like, when you go in for the first kiss, you're either gonna get the kiss or you're not. And if you don't get the kiss, all of a sudden you've just lowered your status. If she says no, you, no matter how many great dates you just had over the last 2 months, when you go in and she says no, you've lost some of that.
I thought it would be the other way around. Like the moment she kissed me, then I lose. I did that already. You know what I'm saying?
No.
All right, cool.
No, because you know, like you've built something there. You know, it's a little bit of a funny example, I know, but it's more like the second you ask somebody to do something for you, you've lost a little bit of the leverage, and brand is leverage, and brand is value, right? I try not to ask anyone for anything. Because but that takes a lot of discipline. It's real easy to cash in your chips. It's real easy. I have a lot of people that owe me favors that I could cash in right now and probably make $100,000 this year on those favors, mm-hmm. but I'd rather wait 10 more years and cash in for $3 million.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
I understand exactly. It's the long, you just put your work.
Patient.
Yeah, definitely.
Long game.
Yes.
Long game. Tell me.
Yeah. So, but we were talking about Facebook earlier, and I learned that if you're interested in anything, whatever you're interested in, all of us, we all have Facebook. So I can almost bet you your life. If you go on your Facebook, the things that you're interested in the most comes
yes.
through your book.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because Facebook somehow, somewhere has like
an algorithm.
Yeah,
that's an algorithm.
So if I'm on Google and I always go to a certain clothing line or a certain.
It'll show up on the side.
So that's another way, you know, for people. That's what I'm saying. There's
absolutely.
So many ways that you can promote or, you know, to get your brand, you know.
Oh, I mean, if you're selling a hat that looks like the Adidas hat, you know what I would do? I would run a Facebook ad and I'd be like, yo, if you love Adidas, you should check this out. Mm-hmm. And you know who I target it to? Every single person that loves Adidas.
That's
my coworker.
I'm a great salesman. I understand.
But guys, I know you're a good salesman. I can tell. But for people that are like new to this, that's how sophisticated it is. Like, that's how crazy it is. I can target, if I'm selling an Adidas thing that looks like if I'm selling something that looks like Nike, I can target people. If I'm selling something, if you're featured in a news show, if you're featured on local Bronx TV, and you want to also be featured on local Queens TV and local Manhattan TV, what you do is you put that local TV clip on Facebook and you target employees of 1010 Wins, employees of Manhattan Radio. And all of a sudden, they're like, well, this is a good story. We should run this too. Guys, it's crazy. It's crazy. Question. If you feel, and this is where it's really important to kind of get real with yourself about like your talent, not everyone has the talent to or the time or the energy or the desire to build an empire personal brand, which is totally fine. And lots of people make $100 to $200 to $1 million a year doing exactly what we're talking about, being somebody else's brand ambassador, right? The problem with that is if tomorrow Adidas doesn't like you anymore, you're done. Your business is over. You have nothing else to sell. And your entire brand has been built on the back of somebody else who's no longer in your corner, and you're back to square one. I believe so much more in spending 5, 10, 15 years building up me so I'm indestructible. I don't care. I have zero respect for any other brand because no matter what they do, they don't influence me. Right? It's a big difference. So I'm not saying one is right or one is wrong. I'm just saying no. What you're getting yourself into. It's the same thing as like only building on one platform. If you only build everything on Instagram and you violate a copyright law tomorrow and Instagram takes your account away, what? What do you do next? You just spent the last three, start over, but that sucks. Because you just spent 3 years, every single minute of your life trying to build something on Instagram. So that's why I say be on all the platforms, and that's why I say take control of the brand the best way that you can, whether that means getting people's email addresses, or that means interacting with them on different platforms, or that means having like a real relationship. That's kind of how I think about it. Another follow up? Yes.
And I, so my plan with the logo, with the brand that I wanna deal with soon, I have a few friends that are like in the industry doing, you know, music, they wanna come up. Everybody know them.
Perfect.
I want to use that too as a platform, you know.
Well, use them as your influencer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't deal with them on a daily basis. Like, they ask me to come out to certain events to like put my face card on certain things, and I did not stay out of it because they're not all, you know, positive, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, the industry is not all good. However, right. My thing is, I'm doing that as part of my sales, as part of my branding, my marketing scheme, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because I'm trying to like kind of stay away from the spotlight and build what I'm doing. Yep. So when I'm ready, I can just look.
Be in the spotlight.
Yeah, be in the spotlight.
Because you already have it built.
Everything is built. So when I present it to my friend that's keep calling me, when I finally call him back and say, hey, look, bro, the reason why I haven't been getting to you.
Because I've been actually building a business.
Well, look, check this out. Now, do this for me and I'll be there. You know what I mean?
I love that. That's an important point for a couple different reasons. Number one, there are two ways to go about this whole branding thing. Number one, you either stay silent and build it and then get loud after it's been built, right? Maybe that means that you do $1 million of sales in your bakery before you start talking about your bakery, right? Or, and equally as interesting to me, you document the process of building a $1 million bakery. My hope today, guys, for you all really is that this talk has inspired someone, just one of you, to actually do something with the dream. And I really thank you, and I thank Jason for bringing me here, and I hope you guys have an incredible new year, and please let me know if I can be of help. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, please check me out on all of the social worlds, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and YouTube at Brian Rashid Global. See you there.